On the third day of Christmas, Cyclocross Social gave to you another podcast. We're going to be talking about the sixth round of the Telenet Super Prestige, which took place in Zolder. We are hitting the marathon phase in some many races. This is the second out of five in a row. Host of Zolder, thank you for being here.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Of course, welcome to all of our listeners. Normally, I start off with that, but, well, I thought about singing, but then I thought better of it and thought I should save you of that. Zolder, personally, one of my favorite courses. I was happy that we went here. It's always the same conditions. I like it. It's nice for racing. And we had two pretty good races, so let's dive into the first race, the men's race. I was there today, watched all the races, men, junior, women, elite, and men elite, and they were all very entertaining. So in the men elite, we had a leading pack at the front of the race for the first part of it. We had up front, of course, the top favorite, Wout van Aert. There was an Alpecin De Koning duo up there, Thibaut Del Grosso and Niels van der Putte. We had a Bauhaus Trek Lions duo up there, Joris Nieuwhuis, together with, somewhat surprising, Wart Huibs. Joran Vizeure was up there, and Eli Izebiet completed the leading group. That group was leading the race for about 35 minutes. There were a couple of attacks, a couple of gaps, but then everything came to an explosion when Van Aert attacked with three laps to go. He attacked, Eli Izebiet was the only one able to follow, and the two went to the final lap together. In that final lap, Eli Izebiet utilized his strength on the barriers and placed an attack. He gapped Van Aert, but Van Aert was strong enough to counter that attack and drop Izebiet. Van Aert raced to his second win of the season on the circuit of Zolder ahead of Eli Izebiet. There was a sprint for third between Niels van der Putte, Joris Nieuwhuis and Thibaut Del Grosso. Joris Nieuwhuis won that sprint. So your podium was Van Aert ahead of Izebiet and Nieuwhuis. Pretty entertaining race, Issam. This is exactly why I love the circuit of Zolder. It makes for grouped racing. Maybe the current course with that final section that's been reworked compared to the 2016 world section is not as good for grouped racing as the old course, but still, it didn't really feel it was a nice race. Some interesting names up there. Wart Huibs, not a rider who was on my bingo card to be at the front of the race. Same actually, well, Thibaut Del Grosso, you know, like, he's talented based on the level, he should do it, but this is the first time he does it within the elite race. Let's talk about them in a bit. First, Wout van Aert against Eli Izebiet. Izebiet did all he could, but Van Aert kind of does his duty and especially delivers to all those Belgian fans that came out there for him today.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think today Van Aert wanted to have an easy win. I think that he personally, you know, it's a fast course, so it's hard to make a difference. But I think that he could have gone a little earlier. But, you know, he felt comfortable in the group and, you know, left it a little later into the race. And there is no reason why he shouldn't be doing that. You take a little more risk, but we saw just today that he was that he still is a level above the others if it isn't for Van der Poel showing up. So I think that it was a very strong race from his side, but nothing unexpected, I would say. And Izebiet got his ticket to second place because, you know, the moment that he was able to hang on the wheel of Van Aert and even take over a little bit, that was kind of where he secured his second place, and a very strong race from his side, making even more sure that he is going to win the Super Prestige at this point. And yeah, it was an entertaining race, like you said, the likes of Del Grosso showing himself at the front, which was great to see. But yeah, if you focus on Van Aert and his race, he did everything that he should be doing, and it was a strong victory, but nothing unexpected, and great to see that he hasn't forget how to win, and it's great to see that, you know, when it is his duty to win, he does that, and that's great.
Yeah, and the fans were so crazy when Van Aert won. Like, it's always the case. The Belgians go nuts for that guy. They love him. He's like part of their family. If you turn up at a Belgian table for dinner in a family of four, they always put out a fifth plate in case Van Aert wants to come and eat some dinner. That's how much they love him. It's really, really nice to see, and the fans were there in pretty big numbers. The area around the beer tent, the back part of the course, the contrast can't be bigger. If you're riding, you go through the beer tent, and then you go into the chapel zone where there's no spectators allowed. It's like super loud, and then all of a sudden it's just you and your bike. Van Aert was just simply stronger today, but I do want to give the props to Izebiet because He had one strength on this entire course. Van Aert is always going to be a class above Iserbeet, but Iserbeet still tries to be the David in this Goliath battle. He uses that one strength he has, the barriers, to do what he can, place that attack, and then ultimately it wasn't enough. But I have to give respect to him. This is a rider who's racing every single race in this season, doesn't complain about the calendar. He takes it up. He's changed his tone like noticeably in the past couple of years. He's not that guy anymore that says he should be treated with more respect or he should be on the same level as Van Aert and Van der Poel. He accepts this role. He accepts that he can come close on days like this, but like, respect to him. He races everything. Of course, in this period, there's going to be some ups and some downs. The down maybe was yesterday in Gavre. Zolder is a course which I associate with Elie Iserbeet. These short hills. He's one of the best riders in the world on it. Respect to him. He did what he could. And I have to respect that fight because it's not every day that you see somebody like try and pressure one of the greats. They're normally just happy that they can sit in the wheel and get that free ride to second, as you said.
No, absolutely. I think that it's his attitude compared to the last couple of seasons definitely changed. And that's, I think, within the growth of Iserbeet as the rider that he is today. I think it's, it's good to see that he changed that mindset instead of wanting to join so badly something that at that moment at least was out of reach and for the moment still is. You know, it's way better to recognize that those guys are at the moment just a little better and try to work as hard as possible and never give up. And I think the people respect this side of Iserbeet and the way he's racing at the moment and the way he's trying to bring up a fight to the big guys. I think that is, you know, people appreciate that more. They like it more, and it's also a better look for himself, I would say. So it's good to see that he made that adjustment, and I like to see this a little bit more, where you just answer with the legs. You just try your best, and, you know, who knows what could have happened in that last lap. Everything was possible in that last lap, because Van Aert left it very late. You know, the difference at the end was really there, and there was nothing he could do about it, but, you know, one mistake, a chain drop, and you are the winner, and then you put him under pressure, and you made sure that you were in that position that could potentially lead to victory. So it was a strong ride from Iserbeet, as we have seen from him so far in several races this season, and it's just great that he keeps that going. But, you know, you've said it already a couple of times, there are going to be races for sure where he will struggle a little bit more, but he is keeping it up so far quite well.
Behind Iserbeet, there was still a pretty entertaining battle for that third spot. I mean, they were in the mix for the win for quite a while. Nieuwenhuis sprinted to third place in the end, or just gapped them like in the final part of the course. That was normal, I would say, but it was nice. Okay, sure, some riders weren't there, to see a couple of other names up there in the mix. I mean, I already mentioned Wout Huibs, Tibor Del Grosso. Let's start with Tibor Del Grosso. He was the vice world champion. He got the silver medal at the U23 World Championships in Hoge Heide earlier this year. This is one of the first times he's racing against the elites. He races a fairly limited schedule. He races a ton of U23 races. Last year he did a handful of races against the elites. One of them was in Zolder. He was 17th here. I recall him being close to a top 10 in either Antwerp or Hulst last year. Not entirely sure in which one it was, but he's racing a limited campaign. He raced in Boom. He was 13th there after an illness, but now 5th here. It kind of reminded me of a few seasons ago. I think it was the 2018-2019 season, also in Zolder, when at the time Joris Nieuwenhuis, big talent, was up there in the mix. He was fighting with Van Aert for a second place on the podium. Nieuwenhuis ended third. It was his breakthrough. And now, I mean, I wouldn't call this the breakthrough of Del Grosso. Maybe it is for the big public, but like the cyclocross followers, and I reckon most of our audience is part of that, will have heard of his name. It's still a great result. He rode mature. He was leading the race at points. He was composed. What do you think, Issam? Del Grosso, in his post-race interview, said, "I think that I messed up my positioning. Without it, I think I had the legs to follow Iserbeet and Van Aert." Seeing the fact that he ended fifth, I personally doubt it a bit. But at the same time, that shouldn't take away anything from his race. What do you think on that?
I mean, I don't. I don't think that that would have been possible, but it's good that he believes in himself. And it's the way he was racing in the first couple of laps, for someone that normally doesn't really race with the elites that often and is still super young, great talent. It was amazing to see, I have to say. You know, he looks like he's a real character, and it's he's very playful in that sense. And when he has the legs, he's definitely going to show it. There are not many riders that can do that. You know, it's there are a lot of riders that when they are still very young and they are very talented, they don't really have the guts to, you know, be leading the group and try to position yourself at the front. And he was doing that. So it's good that he believes in himself. I would love to see him in a position where he can follow them. I think that it is something that will be coming, because if you look at how he was racing today, it was really good. It reminded me a little bit, not his style in particular or something, but it reminded me a little bit of Lars Boom, the way he came through the fields in a way, and also just his whole posture and the way he was racing also, someone that has ambitions on the road as well. It felt a little bit like that, and it was, I think that we will see him many more times at the front, in my opinion. But that is, you know, careers, they go sometimes in a very strange direction, and I hope that it doesn't happen for him. And yeah, it was just, for me, it was great to watch, to be honest, to see him there and have, you know, fight it out with the guys at the front. And I think that we will see it a couple of more times, maybe not this season, but for sure in the next coming seasons.
Oh, for sure. This is a rider we will hear a lot more of, and it's not a hot take. It's not a bold prediction. This is one of the biggest talents out there, also on the road. And yeah, it's interesting that he's going to be racing for the Alpecin Dev team. I mean, I'm assuming you will get some experience and move up to that pro team fairly soon. So yeah, we will hear a lot more about him, and it was really good that he could show himself like this. And yeah, it's not a shame if you lose to Nieuwhuis at the end of the lap. Van der Putte, fourth, also a good result. So the top 10, Van Aert, Iserbeet, Nieuwhuis, Van der Putte, Del Grosso, Vizeure continues what is a pretty good phase of the season. Well, he had a couple of rough ones in Namur, Antwerp and Gavre, but that form from Dublin and Val di Sol clearly isn't gone. Sixth place for him today ahead of Wart Huibs. Kevin Kuhn recovers to 8th, finally a decent result for him. Thijs Aerts was 9th, and Aaron Doks was 10th, just beating Quinten Hermans, who ended 11th. Couple of names to pick out here is Wart Huibs. That was also a surprising ride by him. I must say, when I walked onto the course, I had missed a little bit. I thought, is that Thibaut Nice? I mean, the start list got announced super late. But then I was like, oh, wait a minute, that doesn't really look like him. Oh, it's Wart Huibs. It was surprising that he was up there in that leading group. He did very, very well. And this is a rider for who it's like important. It's crucial for him to perform. He's a fourth-year U23. He needs to show himself now. He needs to get these results. He's gotten a couple of them in the Youth World Cups, fourth in Troyes, sixth in Dublin, now seventh in Zolder. That's going well.
Definitely. And this is definitely the time where you want to be good, because there are quite some races where you can show yourself at the front. And I think that, you know, Zolder is a race that isn't particularly easy or something, but if you have a very good day and you position yourself well, you might end up in one of the first groups and just get in the wheels and try to follow as much as you can. And I think that he kind of got in such a scenario in a way, and yeah, then you just have to make the best out, the most out of it. And he was right up in that pack and made sure that he got a great result out of it. And like you said, in the under-23 races on the World Cup, he's doing also quite well, especially with that second place in Antwerp. So it is crucial in a way for him. I don't know if he has a contract for next year, but he is definitely at an age that you need to show other teams as well that you are capable of in the future of running solid top tens and be up there with the very best in cyclocross. And I think that for him it's I wouldn't call it a do or die situation, but it's kind of now the time to show it, and it's good that he can showcase that at the moment.
Another talented rider in the top 10 is Aaron Doks. This is a rider who is a second year U23. He showed himself limited in the junior category due to being part of the COVID generation. He won silver in the junior race in Fayetteville. He's a rider who does well on fast courses, although he seems to be developing in a pretty versatile way. He was good in Namur. I saw him race there. He was climbing well. He was fourth there. He was 10th here. This is a rider who also goes well on the road. What I saw today from where I was standing, it looked fairly good, and this is definitely a career best result for him. It's always interesting to follow these riders who had their junior years affected by COVID. It seems to have impacted some of them pretty significantly. They lack experience, they lack development. So yeah, it's good to see him show himself, and it's not like he beats nobody. I mean, Quinten Hermans, he was fighting with him all race, and in the end Hermans didn't have it in the final lap, and Doc's a young guy got the veteran Hermans in that final lap. Clément Venturini, the French champion, ended 14th. That's a pretty good result for the French champion. He started pretty far back and rode well through the field. There were a couple of riders who didn't really have their day. Mace Hendricks, DNF. It's not really been his season at all. His results in the high-profile races have not been there. I think a top 10 in like Kortrijk is all I've seen him on the results sheet at the TV crosses. It's not going that well for him. I don't know what's up there. I haven't read anything about that. And then we had Michael van Tourenhout, the European champion, also a DNF for him. He had some issues in the past couple of races in Antwerpen. His saddle post broke. He wasn't really feeling it. And today, I have no idea what was going on. He never really was in the race. He was in 16th, 17th, and then he withdrew. It's really not his season. Then on to the women's race. Mary Schreiber had the fastest start there, but we quickly had the expected leading duo of Femme Van Empel and Celine Del Carmen Alvarado. The pace at front was high for pretty much the entire race. Alvarado was attacking, Van Empel was attacking, there was quite a bit going on. Key moment in the race was when Van Empel crashed in the downhill just before the start-finish straight. She went down there over her bars. Alvarado had a gap. Until then, I personally thought Alvarado looked the best. But it felt like a bit of a deja vu to yesterday. In the final part of the race, Van Empel repacked herself. And in the final lap, it came down to a sprint which was won by Van Empel ahead of Alvarado. The third place went to Inge van der Heijden, who raced pretty much in third for the entire race. Again, a win for Van Empel. Order restored. But not an easy win. Some she had to sprint for it, of course. Van Empel sprinting is a good combination. She has a very good kick, a very good acceleration, a very good sprint. But Alvarado, same way like Isabit, did what she could. And for a way, I felt like, is this the same race as yesterday? Because Van Empel didn't really seem to have it in the first part, as I just said. I felt Alvarado was stronger, but Van Empel managed to turn it around. What were your thoughts on that?
It was a bit double, because on one hand, like you said, it's kind of order restored and off we go now to the next couple of races. But then you have the crash, you have the reaction after that crash, jumps back on the bike, and overall there were definitely some corners that it were not taken the proper way, or at least you saw some hesitation, you saw some moments of just not taking the right line, not being confident. But then the next to that, you see that the power is there and she has a very good form, and it's just, it's hard to place it, because obviously I can understand that she's very happy with the result and with the win, but it's just, you know, cyclocross, part of it is taking corners, and you're going to have some descents, and if you are in your mind, you know, also with the reaction in the interview, it was, yeah, I crashed, I thought that it was my knee, and then I was like, nah, and then I went on and tried and it was okay. But it's just, if you are going to race every race and you're going to be thinking about your knee, guess what? Most of the time you're going to crash. And it's just because your mind is just fully with the knee. And it's just, you're constantly just thinking about it. You're like, please don't fall on the knee. Please don't fall. And then it will end up happening. I don't wish it, but it's just, you got to figure out a way where you just forget about it and where you just try to, I don't know, it's probably late in the season, so there's not much you can do. You have to try to, you know, get around the situation, but it's tricky, because if you get a Pieterse today, or a Brandt, and it's speculation, and we will see other races, but if you have someone that is actually going to be able to put you under pressure, then what? And especially on the put you under pressure in the corners, in the descents, it's going to be tricky. So that's kind of how I am standing at the moment with the result of Van Empel. Obviously, I'm very happy for her that she got the W, and she seemed very happy with it, so that's great to see, and it's definitely a bounce back from Havre. But yeah, what next?
Well, what's next is a couple of days of rest. She's returning in Holst, and I think it's a good point you make. I didn't hear that interview. They didn't play that on the speakers, but yeah, it's true. If you're worried about crashing, please don't crash on the knee. Please don't crash on the knee. Oh, I can't crash on my knee. Then at some point, you're going to make a mistake. If you're too careful, that's when you normally start making the mistakes, because if you worry too much about crashing, it's going to happen, because you need to do it normal. You need to execute as normal. That's the cyclocross heritage I spoke about in yesterday's podcast. Not going to repeat that talk again. At the same time, I don't know if it's only that mindset with her knee while it's holding her back. She might just not be as fit as she was. The others might be a little bit fitter. Last year we saw Van Empel have a little dip in this phase of the season as well. We'll see what comes from it. I think Van Empel at the moment is still good. I felt Alvarado was 1% better in the first part of the race, and they were evenly matched in the second part. Alvarado especially technically looked a bit better, which then maybe has to do with the knee. But yeah, it's difficult to say what's going on and conclude in what state Van Empel is. If you recall to the European Championships, Van Empel said something about the mental pressure, that she struggled with that, which I can understand. It might seem weird, like, hey, you win every time, how do you deal with pressure? Like, it feels like you can only disappoint. People expect wins. That might be something that's also playing now. I don't know. I'm just trying to think, because it, like, to me visually, it seems like Van Empel is not as good as she was before, which is okay. I mean, it might still come. The others might have improved. I might be wrong here, but yeah, it will be interesting to see what comes. In the sprint, she obviously comfortably won. We know that she can sprint, which also made it super hard on this course for Alvarado to really do something. But in Hulst, you can't really get away with thinking about, I need to avoid crashing, because there's many sections where you can crash there. You can't get away with a ton of technical mistakes or a super risk-averse approach with the way that course is formed, and the top layer will be relatively slippery. You can't really have any of that, so it'll be interesting to see what comes. I think we're in for definitely more exciting races for the win that we've seen before this season. So in that regard, I'm not too sad about the fact that Van Empel doesn't appear to be at her best at the moment. Let's look at the entire top 10. Van Empel with the win ahead of Alvarado van der Heide. Fourth place for Sanne Kant ahead of Christina Zemanova. Annemarie Worst was sixth ahead of Mary Schreiber. Annick van Alphen, Laura Molengraaf and Marion Norbert-Ribeiro was 10th. I would like to comment something on the race of Van der Heide, but I really don't know. It was a race for her in no man's land. She was far ahead of the group for fourth, and she was some distance behind the leaders, never really threatening to catch them. A solid performance is some, but I don't really know what more to say about it.
Kind of reflects her season, right? I mean, it has been a season so far that hasn't been bad, but just it's kind of anonymous in a way, and normally, if she would have had a better day, maybe she could have been a bit closer. Nevertheless, it's a solid result with the field that we have today. And I think that the maximum was third. But she leaves you a little bit puzzled every race, kind of. And you're like, well, you always feel like that potential is not reached in certain results. And today, a bit similar. But it's like, you know, there's what is the potential at this point? So you don't really know where to place that. And it's hard. It's hard to comment on that result, but I think that for her, it's just, you know, the podium is definitely a bonus. It's going well for her, so yeah, that's probably how you should look at it, and see how she goes on in the next couple of races, because that is, I think, for her kind of now where she has to find maybe a little bit more consistency. The consistency is kind of there, but maybe on the wrong end, and try to raise yourself more in the picture. because, you know, it, like I said, it's kind of an anonymous season, but solid results. So it's like you cannot criticize it that much, but it's also, can you praise it that much? I don't know.
Well, probably not, because there's not that much to say about it. Today it was decent. I can say more about Sanne Kant. I said it, I think, a few podcasts ago, and maybe that was around Flamanville, Boom, that she was having a better season. Probably in Flamanville when she crashed, but today, fourth place, good result. It's a long time ago. She was fourth in a race with a start list of this quality. She beats a rider like Anna-Marie Vorst, like Zemanova, like Schreiber. I mean, this course is something that suits Van der Heide, Zemanova, Schreiber, especially Zemanova. She's a specialist on this circuit. It's so good for her. I think she would be good on the road as well. She doesn't do it, but for Kant to beat Zemanova, and I mean, from where she came through the field, that's super good. And the Belgians were losing it when she was in fourth, and they thought she could still catch Van der Heide. I never really saw that. That gap was always going to be too big at 20 seconds. But nevertheless, a fourth place for Kant is really, really good. I mean, she will be probably the most satisfied out of all the riders in the 5th to 10th range. That was a solid, solid performance for the infinite time Belgian champion.
You could also see in the race interview that she was very happy with that result. And, you know, obviously that is for her, as she has said, someone that, you know, didn't have the greatest of races in the previous races, but also had some solid results. And, you know, the season so far for Kant hasn't been all too great, but there were some races definitely where she showed herself very well, and this was definitely one of them. And I think someone else in the top 10 that showed that was definitely Molengraaf, someone that, you know, is kind of forced in that elite category in a way, and then has to try and get a feeling there. And I think that finishing in the top 10 with the elites in the Super Prestige is definitely not a bad result. And it hasn't been all too great in certain races, but she definitely is showing that she is still there, that she is a talent, and it needs some time. And it's obviously super difficult, especially because you don't have that bridge like the men do with the under 23 category, where they can just have those races as well. So yeah, it's for her obviously difficult, but she's making the best out of it. And I think with the ninth place is definitely mentionable, and also something that is a very, very, very good result, and you have to build on that. And, you know, don't be negative on the season, because you will definitely have you need a couple of seasons to really find your place in the elite category, and I think that she will do just that, but it needs some time.
Yeah, it was definitely a good result. She was fighting with Aniek van Alphen the entire race. Van Alphen at the moment doesn't really have the form which she had at the beginning of the season, when she was third in Maasmechelen, second in Niel. In those races she was really good. That form isn't there at the moment. I don't know if it's going to return. It's always difficult in this season to still repair, or in this phase of the season. But yeah, really good ride by Molengraaf. Just outside of the top 10, we saw Judith Kral, the German champion. 11th place, just outside of the top 10. Just came short on Ribeirol. Good result for her. I think for the rest, in the juniors, Villa Lopez de San Roman, second year junior, ended 18th, just behind the Spanish champion. The Belgians were getting all excited for Fleur Morse, who is a first year U23. She ended 14th. It's pretty interesting, like, the perspective that you get when you're there. Like, the Belgians, you hear them talk, so I'm like, oh yeah, that's Fleur Morse. Yeah, I read an interview with Paul Herreigers, who commentates on the Belgian TV, former world champion in Kokside. They mention, oh yeah, Paul Herreigers said Fleur Morse is a big talent. Oh yeah, last year in extra time cross before Worlds, they were talking about her. I thought she would medal Worlds, but then she didn't do it. Yeah, she was a handball player. Like, they're so into it. It's super interesting perspective, and she has a super big fan base already. There were people walking around with, like, Fleur Morse fan club, and it was like some sort of brewing company, and they had made like all jumpers with it. It was pretty interesting to see that, and pretty nice for her to get all the cheers. think that will complete it here for Zolder. Issam, thank you for your time.
Absolutely, no problem. And next up, Dichem.
Yeah, night race. Oh, it's going to be a late one tomorrow. I'm not looking forward to that. But yeah, Dichem tomorrow. The race usually doesn't disappoint. We should be in for a good one. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And see you guys tomorrow when we talk about the Super Prestige in Dichem. Goodbye.